Chapter 8. Kleiner's Warehouse. "Okay," I said to Roscoe when we were outside of the hotel. "So, you're walking out of here with Joe's things. What do you do with them?"
"I keep the briefcase and throw away the other things," she said.
There was a narrow road between the hotel and the next building, with a line of dumpsters. I pointed. "Maybe the guy drove down there and threw them into one of those."
"But we need the briefcase," Roscoe said.
"Joe was a smart guy," I said. "Maybe he carried a briefcase, but kept the most important things in the suit bag." We walked down the narrow road toward the dumpsters, and I climbed up to look in the first one. It was empty. The second one was full, but I couldn't see anything like a suit bag in it. I climbed up to the third one, and there was a suit bag lying right on the top. I threw it down to Roscoe and climbed down. There was a name badge on it. Reacher. "Okay, Joe," I said. "Let's see how smart you were." Inside the bag were two pairs of shoes. I looked inside them. Hidden inside the third shoe, there was a piece of paper. "Well done, Joe," I said, and smiled. The top right corner of the paper wasn't there. We knew that it said Pluribus and had Hubble's phone number on it. The words Operation E Unum were left.
"So it's called Operation E Unum Pluribus?" Roscoe said. "Out of one comes many. But the United States motto is E Pluribus Unum. Out of many comes one."
Below were some letters and telephone numbers. The first letters were PH, and the number next to them was gone. Then there were the letters KK and a New York number, and then MBG and a Washington number. Then the words Stoller's Garage. We drove back to Margrave and found Finley at the station. Teal was there too. Roscoe pointed to the interview room, and Finley followed us in there. Someone picked up Joe's things from his hotel before us. "But we've got this," I said, showing him Joe's paper with the letters and numbers. "We know Paul Hubble and Molly Beth Gordon, but we don't know KK. We looked in Stoller's garage and only found two empty air conditioner boxes." Baker knocked on the door.
"Teal has just left. Do you need anything?" he asked.
"Give me a copy of this, will ya?" Finley said, giving him the paper. "I'll call Molly Beth again now. Maybe she's found something on Joe's computer," I said when Baker was gone. Molly sounded worried.
"I looked at Joe's computer. A guy called Kleiner in Margrave has a huge counterfeiting operation," she told me. "About $4 billion in $100 bills. Jack, I have to go."
She put the phone down quickly. Baker came back, gave Joe's paper and a copy of it to Finley, and left. Finley tried the number for KK, but there was no reply. I told Roscoe and Finley what Molly said.
"Kleiner has a factory in Venezuela," Roscoe said. "So maybe they print the counterfeits there and bring them by boat to Florida."
"And Stoller met the boat in Florida and brought the counterfeit money to Kleiner's warehouse, I said. He drove air conditioners down to Florida. That way, he didn't drive an empty truck. It was a way of hiding the scam, I said.
Then the counterfeit money is sent out from Margrave to the big cities, L.A., Chicago, Detroit, New York, Boston,
Roscoe went on. But what about Hubble? Why do they need a banker? Said Finley. He knew a lot about dollar bills, I said. Roscoe and I stayed the night in Macon. We were back at the station in Margrave early the next morning.
We've got a problem, Finley told us. Picard rang. Roscoe, he needs you to help look after Charlie and her children. It's just for 24 hours.
Okay, if it's only for a day, said Roscoe.
He'll be here soon, said Finley. You can tell him what we found out.
I went outside with Roscoe. Are you going to be okay? I asked.
Sure, you can't get safer than an FBI house, can ya? I'll see you tomorrow, Reacher, she said, and kissed me.
Picard's car arrived, and he got out.
Thanks, Roscoe, he said. This is really helpful.
He picked up her bag and threw it into the back of his car. Then, the two of them got in and drove off. While Roscoe was gone, my job was to watch the warehouse. Finley gave me the keys to Roscoe's car. A Bentley was too obvious. A dark green Chevrolet was better. Then I went shopping. I bought a big brown green jacket with large pockets, a knife, a blackjack, and some field glasses. I drove up to the Cloverleaf, stopped under a bridge near the highway, and made myself comfortable. With the field glasses, I could see the four warehouses below me. Each one had a high fence round it. Farm trucks were coming and going from the first three warehouses. Everything looked completely normal. It was the fourth warehouse that I was interested in. Behind it, I could see the dead tree from Stoller's photo. The gate in the fence was open, but the big door at the front of the warehouse was closed. Two gatemen waited outside. For a long time, nothing happened. I watched and waited. At last, a truck arrived and the driver got out. One gateman opened the big door of the warehouse, and the other drove the truck inside. The door was closed. The truck driver waited outside. 18 minutes later, the truck came out, and the driver got in and drove back to the highway. Another truck arrived, and the same thing happened. A gateman took the truck inside the warehouse while the driver waited outside. Then a third truck came, but this time, the driver drove it into the warehouse himself. I thought fast. I needed to see what was inside this truck. I jumped in the Chevrolet, and when the truck came out, I followed it onto the highway. We drove on and on for 400 miles, out of Georgia, through Alabama, into Mississippi. It began to grow dark. Finally, the truck slowed down and came off the highway. I followed, but not too close. A tall man with black hair got out. It was Kleiner's son. He locked the trunk and went into a diner. 30 minutes later, he came out, walked across to a motel, and went inside. I waited another 30 minutes, hoping that he was asleep. Then, I moved the Chevrolet close to the truck, got onto the roof, and pulled myself up onto the roof of the truck. I lay flat and cut a hole in the center of the roof with the knife. I looked down into the truck. It was empty.